Yesterday we had a beautiful, a mighty men's retreat, Advent men's retreat, and I'm so grateful for all the guys that were able to show up and be a part of that. You know, we need that, don't we? We need that bond, that fraternity, because we're fighting against some pretty enormous, gigantic forces of evil right now in our times. So thanks again for being there. Now, just to put this on your radar, it seems to be ramping up. What's going on is that next Saturday, which is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, so December 12th, there's a whole movement going on around the country. In our in Madison, what I've been hearing is they're actually going to do kind of a pseudo Christmas parade, but it's actually going to be trucks with flags hanging off of them, you know. And it's one of those where, again, patriots are rallying together to do what they can to put a stop to what seems to be being ramrodded into our country right now. And so that's happening at 11 a.m. down at the Capitol. And then at 12, there will be what we've been doing, these Jericho marches. And I was actually watching One America News last night, and they were interviewing Mike Lindell, and he talked about the Jericho marches and did a pitch for them. And so especially, we're doing them every day. I get out there when I can, which has actually been rare lately. But every day at noon, they get together on that State Street side right up against the Capitol building and then process around seven times, praying decades of the rosary, St. Michael Chaplet. There's also the prayer that we do that Father Ripperger recommended for us at these times that is done at that time. And what we're praying for, again, is that these evil strongholds will become tumbling down. You know, the biblical story of Jericho, they marched around the walls, came tumbling down. So please mark your calendars for that. This 11 a.m., again, I'm not exactly sure how to identify what that is, but it's just a lot of patriots, I guess, are going to be there. And I think Sheriff David Clark is going to be one of the speakers there. And I think I might be one of the speakers. Kevin O'Brien from Men of Christ asked, so we'll see how that goes. I think mine will be more for the Jericho March part. Anyway, so lots going on, lots to pray for, as we all know, right? And so here we are with this particular gospel, and we hit my guy, okay? So I'm very proud to say that I share a birthday with St. John the Baptist. He's one of the only, I think the only saint, that we celebrate his birth into the world rather than into eternal life. We also celebrate that, too, with John the Baptist. The beheading of John the Baptist is what that is. Anyway, so John the Baptist has always been a favorite of mine. In fact, when I encountered a person who makes beautiful coat of arms, I thought, oh, I always wanted one of those. So we got together and we designed the whole thing. Actually, I have a photo of it right here, or a printout of it. This is my coat of arms. And actually, on my white vestment that the Tridentine Mass Society of Madison gifted me, they put this coat of arms on it. But you can see here that it, probably can't see from your distance, but right, it's a shield. And I actually picked that kind of crusader shield, right? The red cross on the white shield. And then in front is what's called an Agnus Dei. So that's just Latin for Lamb of God. That's when John the Baptist goes, look, the Lamb of God, or behold the Lamb of God. And he's on the water. He's so baptizing. But behold the Lamb of God. We recognize that, don't we? Because just before we all receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, you know, I turn and I hold up the consecrated now body, blood, soul, divinity of our Lord and say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who come to receive him. But what do we do? In essence, we're saying, my Lord and my God, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. If only you come under my roof, it says, right? So that's that scripture passage too, where Jesus is asked to heal someone, And this a military man says, hey, you know, all you need to do is say the word and that the person will be healed. And so Jesus saw that as great faith, right? And that's what we're calling out, saying as well. If only you come under my roof, we shall be healed. So, and then the words underneath in Latin say, he must increase, I must decrease. Okay, that's also a quotation from John the Baptist.
I'm going to put this, I don't think it's safe.
Nope, I'll put it here. So anyway, he must increase, I must decrease. Make straight the way of the Lord is the scripture passage here. That's how we do that. Okay, we do our best to remove all obstacles. In the reading from the prophet Isaiah, it says, you know, bring the mountain low and fill in the valley and make straight the way of the Lord. Remove all obstacles. He must increase. I must decrease. I know as we get older, too, it's harder to take direction from the Lord, from anybody, actually. Because why? It's hard to teach us old dogs new tricks. That's why Jesus said in another part of the scripture, unless you become like this child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we want to become childlike, meaning that we're easily taught, we're easily led. In another part of the gospel, Jesus emphasizes this. He says, blessed are the meek. Okay, that's from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, so they shall inherit the land. And then in another part of the scripture, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. I don't know, denying yourself and taking up your cross sounds kind of hard. Well, here's the point he's trying to make, is that when we're in that meekness and humility, where are we at? We're at that place, that childlike place, where we're easily led. And we're easily led for this reason, because we love him so much. Okay? It's my great pleasure, it's my utter joy to do it your way. And so, we talked about this before, but just to refresh your memory, meekness, we always think in terms of like being weak or spineless in our modern culture. But the biblical understanding of this is best expressed by how they brought wild stallions down from the mountain and they trained them. Some would pull carts, some were raced, but some were used for spiritual warfare. But they were trained in such a way that they were easily led. They were so the tap of the rider's heel, they'd be running toward, you know, the enemy maybe, and they could tap the rider's heel, and he'd stop on a dime. And these warrior stallions weren't afraid of arrows or spears or anything coming at them at the time. They kept going. And because why? Because it is said that these wild stallions now are meeked, okay? And what are they doing? They're trusting the rider to give them direction. That's the place we need to... he must increase, I must decrease. In the military, sir, yes, sir. You know, that doesn't... It's far from any person out of control, chaotic, you know, wild person. No, this person understands that there's a need for that tight, unified team who together form that impressive force capable of tearing down evil strongholds and building up the kingdom of God. But they're easily led primarily by sacred scripture and sacred tradition. And what comes then, and you see this in military, I always say I'm like a fangirl around the military, right? I mean, I actually start to tremble a little bit because I'm so awe. These heroes. But what do they know is the way that they can best fight the enemy, to be this unified force. Okay? Well, in the opposite of that would be, well, you know, you have your idea of how we should do things, and I have mine, and you know, maybe we should get into discussion groups when the commander gives an order. No, they follow the order and they move out. He must increase, I must decrease. Make straight the way of the Lord. No discussion groups. No, I have my truth and you have your truth. You follow your own way. No, we follow precisely. And this, my brothers and sisters, goes to the essence of what we're pining for in our country. That we be a country that's founded on what's called natural law. In other words, we just know what is right versus what is wrong. What is good versus what is evil. What is holy versus what is unholy. We just know that. We just know that. I was reflecting with the men yesterday morning. I said, there's this delusion that this Democratic Party right now believes they're the Democratic Party of the 1960s. You know, when everybody was Catholic and everybody went to church, and it was promoted to do that. But now we're being told, I always use the one, grown men share a bathroom with little girls, and you'll sit down and you'll shut up. The enemy's commands, the false teachers. You know, this is why it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks. Why? Because over a lifetime, they encounter so many of these false teachers that they begin to doubt even the true teachers. Okay, so it's harder to take. But we believe in the Word of God. We believe in the will of God. And we follow that easily. And that brings utter joy into our lives. Why? Because we know we're in company with God and in company with all those who are following the will of God. And that brings what? All meaning and purpose, because we're fulfilling our destiny. We found it. We're locked into it. He must increase, I must decrease. Sir, yes, sir. I don't want to do it my way. I don't want to do what I feel is good. I don't want to break into discussion groups and discuss whether, you know, what is taught in sacred scripture is right or not. All these heretics that are emerging in our midst, you know. Hey, you know, we've evolved past all of this. You know, even though it teaches the Bible, we know better now. False teachers. No wonder people doubt teachers any longer. But we need to get past that. We need to move beyond that. We need to be a united front. Sir, yes, sir. We're moving out. So I'm just going to close with this. How do we get locked in? Locked in with God and locked in with each other. How do we get to that place where when the priest elevates the Eucharist, behold the Lamb of God, and our heart is pounding so much, my Lord and my God. You know, those are the words of St. Thomas. Remember, they told St. Thomas, hey, we saw the Lord. Yeah, right. Show me the signs, he said, right? I need to examine the nail prints in his hands. I need to put my hand into his side, okay? Show me the sign. Then he got in Christ's presence and he went, my Lord and my God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Right? My Lord and my God, I will do it exactly your way. It's my utter joy. That's my destiny, to do it your way. And then mighty things happen. Then mountains are moved from here to there. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, he said, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would do it. We start to see miracles. A family ignited by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Believing, yes, believing You can do anything, God, because you are God, and we believe that. So this is the way, and this is the obedient way. This is the sir, yes, sir way for us as Catholics to get in lock step with our Lord and with each other, with our family, okay? This is how we prepare the way of the Lord and make straight his paths. Protect your state of grace. See it as your greatest treasure. If you lose that faith in that, you're off wandering in the barren desert, in the darkness, where you're just the devil's play toy. If we lose that, behold the Lamb of God. Yes, that his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Yes, God wants to pour into my heart his power. Draw your strength from the Lord, and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the tactics of the devil. The power of God. We're nothing without it. And so we need to go to confession frequently. I always remark that I stopped doing penitential service or whatever they call reconciliation services. I don't think it's a bad idea on its face, but it trained people to go when those are offered, which is maybe during Lent or maybe during Advent. So now they're going once, maybe twice a year. It trained us out of going frequently. I won't be a part of that. Instead, I built a confessional. You sin, you come. We need to be in the state of grace at all times. Frequent confession. Don't let a month go by. Listen, you may not have had a grave or mortal sin, but the world is wearing on you. Oh, you know, you believe that, but listen, we all believe this over here. And if we're not careful, if we're weak, we go, wait, what do you believe over here? Oh, that sounds pretty good. We're the devil's play toy. That's the ultimate goal of this evil that's insurging upon us right now. All this propaganda. I mean, it's just diametrically opposed to the Word of God. Very convincing language. And they count themselves as the cool kids on the playground. Very enticing to go over there and be with the diabolical cool kids on the playground. We got to be strong. We got to be in God's power. And so go to confession. You detox, you cleanse, you purify. And now the Holy Spirit comes into that place. Okay? Instead of a poison place where the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be at. No, we're made pure. We're made holy in that one moment. The priest gives absolution. Keep your mom close. Mom. 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 Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. I love you. I love you. I love you. Imagine her cradling you in your arms. In her arms. I imagine my mom doing it every day. She's gone to eternal life. But she still holds me in her arms. And my mom modeled for me. She went to Mass every day of her life. And knelt in that pew with her hands in prayer with the rosary wrapped around them. She loved Our Lady. She kept her mom, she kept our Blessed Mother close, and she knew by doing that, she kept our Lord close to her. Spend time every day, just take a few moments, if you will, in quiet contemplation. Why? Because we could just get on the treadmill, right? On the rat race. We could just go, 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 act, act, act. You know, we're just about the Martha, 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 Martha. You know, hey, we ought to be doing this activist thing. And we need to do that. But not just that. The story of Martha, Mary sat at his feet. She locked eyes with him. She hung on his every word. She was in adoration.
Mary had chosen the sinyum pui, or I'm sorry, she chose the greatest thing. Get to adoration. I know it's tough if there's not adoration offered or your schedule's busy, but come to Mass a little earlier. Stay a little later. Just have that time where it's just you and our Lord, like Mary at the feet of Jesus, locked on his eyes, hanging on his every word. Know your faith as best you can. You know, if you don't understand something, my goodness, you can Google it today. You don't have to go get a library card and go and find it in volumes of books on three floors of a library. You push a button and there's the answer. There's no excuse. You don't understand something, find out what it means so that you can lead others to our Lord. Let your joy and your strength and your faith be enticing and compelling. You know, here's the opposite of that. And it's kind of my pet peeve too, is that we can get arrogant. Look what I found, and you don't. Why? Because we want to be the cool kids in the playground again. What are they doing in the ones I referred to earlier? They're looking at us and calling us deplorables. Don't let us do that to other people. Well, we go to the better mass, and we go to the better parish, and we have the better denomination, and we have the better. You don't. That's not compelling. That's not attractive. That's abhorrent. It's ugly. And it's so easy to slip into that because this is an awesome. Catholicism is what Jesus started. This is an awesome parish here. You know? I don't club people over the head of that. Say, come on, it's awesome. You got to see this. You can be part of the cool kids too. No, just kidding. But the point is, our very lives should say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Your life should say that. Your smile. Your approachability. Right? Your welcomeness. The ease at which you let people feel it at ease in your presence so that they can come and be your best friend in 5 minutes, you know? Because you're not an exclusive club, cool kids on the playground. You're the very love of God. Get meek. St. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. He must increase. I must decrease. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.